Welcome aboard to 3 hours of live and local radio on WNTK 99.7 FM in Newport, New Hampshire, and WUVR 1490 AM and 98.9 FM in Lebanon, New Hampshire. This is Saturday Sports Talk, your catch-up on the week in action in high school and college sports around the Upper Valley. I'm Greg Fennell. It's got a lot of stuff to get into right now, including some history-making Hartford High boys basketball from last night, a neat honor that'll be going to the late Buddy Tevens and Dartmouth football, the loss of a significant figure in high school baseball from earlier this week. We'll look at what's coming up in the Vermont High School playoffs, New Hampshire seeds in boys basketball and boys and girls hockey, girls hoop as well, due early next week, so we'll take a look at the standings there. And while it feels like winter outside, it's very much spring for a lot of Dartmouth teams. Men's lacrosse getting its home opener this afternoon. Women's lacrosse, baseball, softball, all busy this weekend, so we'll look at what's happening not only out of doors, but in of doors at Dartmouth College over the next hour. And of course, we do 3 hours of this at the Hilton Garden Inn in Lebanon, along Route 120 on La Bombard Road, right by the Dartmouth Coach Depot here in Lebanon. Right after me, Rich Parker, Rob Wooder. They'll go till noon with Valley Buzz starting at 10:06, and that caps your 3 hours of live and local here on NTK and UVR. Back from the sunshine in Florida, Tobin is in the studio in Newport, 603-863-8423 to call for here or for Valley Buzz later on to get in on the conversation. That's what we do here on Saturday mornings on WNTK and WUVR. What we also do here on Saturday Sports Talk, not everything that happened in the world of sports on Friday night made it to Saturday's newspaper. We are going to read about it. We've mentioned this parenthetically over the last few shows that the Dartmouth men's hockey team seems to be making a move up the ECAC standings as we head toward the postseason tournament in a couple of weeks. They took another jump yesterday by rolling over RPI in Troy, New York, over at Houston Fieldhouse. Final count of 5-1. In a game in which the Big Green never trailed, Tucker McRae put Dartmouth on top 12 seconds into the contest. Cooper Flinton scored the first of his two goals on a power play before the first period was done. Engineers nicked one back through Tommy Gaffredo early in the second period, but Dartmouth pulled away with a three-goal third, scoring on a Luke Hames power play, Eric Charpentier later in the game, about 2 minutes after, and then Flinton with a second of the game unassisted into an empty net with 2.5 minutes to play. Big Green improving to 8-9-9 overall, 6-6-7 in league play. What that means is they are getting close, might be running out of time, but they are getting close to possibly getting a first-round bye in the upcoming ECAC tournament. Reminder that everybody in the ECAC makes the postseason. Top four seeds get byes in the first round, and the other eight teams play each other in a one-off first-round single-game set. As of right now, Dartmouth is in seventh in the league right now. Change that. They're in sixth place in the league with 28 standings points through 19 games. They still have three more games to play. They are two behind fourth place Clarkson and one behind Union, which is the squad they're going to play in Schenectady over at Achilles Rink tonight. They still have plenty of pursuit. St. Lawrence at 26, Yale at 24, Harvard at 23. Top three seeds are already set for the tournament. Quinnipiac running away with it with 50 points through their 20 games. Cornell and Colgate have also clinched playoff spots, not necessarily seeds, but they have clinched playoff spots. So, and I'll take that back. They have clinched opening round byes. So one spot left, two weekends to go. Dartmouth will continue action at Union coming up tonight. Now, other games in the ECAC from yesterday, aside from Dartmouth's victory, Quinnipiac continued its nationally ranked ways, beating Brown by a count of 5-2. Clarkson was a 4-3 winner in overtime over Cornell. That's a big one for the Golden Knights as they try to lock down that fourth seed and that final first-round bye. St. Lawrence had to work overtime to beat Colgate 4-3. Union over Harvard 6-2. Princeton beat Yale. Score there was 4-1. Hockey East last night, UNH loses to UMass 3-2. Maine beats Northeastern 5-1. BU routes UConn 6-1, and Boston College does the same to Vermont 7-1. Back to the ECAC and women. Their first-round single games are all coming up today. Dartmouth on the road, playing in the tournament for the first time since 2015, but only because the ECAC expanded the women's field to match what the women, what the men do this year. All 12 teams make it, top four get a bye. Everybody else plays a one-game playoff, so Dartmouth couldn't miss the playoffs if they tried. They got the 10th seed. They are at number 7 Princeton at 3:30, or make that 3 o'clock this afternoon down at Hobey Baker Rink. Princeton nationally ranked 13th in the country, I think, the last time we checked. But Dartmouth did get a tie with the Tigers when they played up at Thompson Arena during the regular season. Winner goes on to play in the best of three second round next weekend. NHL last night, Buffalo a 2-1 winner in Columbus. Winnipeg Jets beat Chicago 3-2 in overtime. Minnesota was a 4-2 winner in Edmonton. Your Boston Bruins around on the West Coast. They got a rematch with Vancouver tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern time. These are the top two teams in the overall NHL standings, 80 points apiece, although it's a lot more compressed this year than it was last year with the Bruins running away with a regular season title. And don't forget that the Bees did beat Vancouver, shut them out, in fact, when they met at TD Garden a couple of weeks ago. Kind of trying to come in off of a loss to the Calgary Flames on Thursday night in overtime. Moving over to the basketball floor, Dartmouth men's basketball looks like it's destined for the basement in the Ivy League this year. The team that was closest to them in the standings used a 13-0 run in the first half to reverse an early deficit. Penn with the 82-69 win over the Big Green last night at Lead Arena. That came despite 23 points from Dushan Neskovic to lead the Big Green in scoring, but right now Dartmouth just 5-18 overall, 1-9 in league play. Penn improved to 10-15, 2-8 in league play. The Big Green will host Princeton at Lead Arena 6 o'clock tonight. Also on the Ivy scoreboard, the big one from last night, Cornell took over the lead in the Ivy League standings. They beat Yale in Ithaca 65-62, so the Bulldogs drop a game off the pace. Princeton still one game off the pace as well, despite last night's 66-53 win at Harvard. And Brown, a winner in New York over Columbia, 66-64. Standings right now have Cornell at the top at 9-1, Princeton and Yale both 8-2. Nobody else better than 4-6, so technically the Big Green still is mathematically in it, but they only have four games left in the league, and they're three behind everybody else. The teams at 4-6 right now, Harvard, Brown, and Columbia, all battling for that last spot in the upcoming Ivy League basketball tournament. America East, Vermont with a big win this week over UAlbany, beating another possible contender in the conference race. Right now, UVM can pretty much wrap up the top seed in the America East tournament with a win at home tonight over Bryant. The Bulldogs, one of two teams that are 2-3 games behind UVM in the league standings. They are 9-3, as is UMass Lowell in league play. Vermont is 12-1. Everybody plays 16 games, so UVM could literally lock it down with a win at Patrick Gym tonight. It is senior day for Dartmouth women's basketball. 1 o'clock game, they take on Yale at Lead Arena. Congratulations to the crew and Linda Cimino, their first-year coach. Finally got a win in league play last week in beating Cornell in a game in which they had one quarter, which the Big Green didn't even score a point. Defense doing the job, offense not necessarily so. Yale comes in at 6-17, 3-7 in league play. Dartmouth is 7-15 overall, 1-9 in league play. I think you could put this in the department of winnable games. The game to watch in ECAC women's, I should say, Ivy League women's basketball today, going on in New York as 25th-ranked Princeton, perfect through 10 Ivy League games, plays their closest competitor, 9-1 Columbia. The Lions 18-5 on the season, and the Tigers are 20-3. Princeton was a winner, I think, by 12 points over Columbia in their meeting in New Jersey earlier this year. Penn goes to Cornell. Brown is at Harvard in the other women's games today. And in America East, it's a three-horse race right now for the top spot in the league. UAlbany and Maine both 11-2. UVM at 11-3. The Maine Black Bears are at New Jersey Institute of Technology this afternoon. UVM is a visit to Bryant, and UMass Lowell plays at UAlbany as the women keep trying to sort out who's going to be their top seed. NBA last night, busy Friday night schedule. Philadelphia beat Cleveland 104-97. Toronto edged Atlanta 123-121. Miami over New Orleans 106-95. Oklahoma City blasts Washington 147-106. L.A. Clippers were 101-95 winners in Memphis. Houston Rockets edged Phoenix 114-110. Denver Nuggets 127-112 over Portland. Golden State edging Charlotte Hornets 97-84. Milwaukee 112 and Minnesota 107. And the L.A. Lakers were 123-118 winners over San Antonio, despite a rare 5-5 by Victor Wembanyama. You probably never heard of this before because it doesn't happen very often. Not only did he have 27 points, 10 boards, 8 assists, he also had 5 blocks and 5 steals. Only 27 times in the NBA's history since they started tracking steals and blocks in 73-74 has anybody achieved a 5x5, 5 of anything in all 5 categories. He is the one who did it in the fastest amount of time, 30 minutes and 55 seconds of playing time. There's your fancy stat for the evening. Golden State Warriors news. Coach Steve Kerr, a 4-time champion as coach of the Warriors, has agreed to a 2-year, $35 million contract extension. It'll make him the highest paid coach in NBA history. His current deal was to end at the end of this year. Now he has signed up through the next 2 years beyond that. Well, it's baseball season, whether you noted it or not. Spring training getting underway down in Florida and in Arizona. Boston with his traditional game with Northeastern yesterday, beating the Huskies 7-2. They start playing major league competition with an 8 against the Baltimore Orioles in Sarasota later on today. Liam Hendricks, 3-time All-Star closer. The Red Sox signed him to a 2-year, $10 million deal earlier in the week. Hendricks saying he expects to pitch for the team by the trade deadline, which would be the end of August. He is still coming back from Tommy John surgery last year upon coming back from cancer treatments with the Chicago White Sox. Elsewhere in the world of sports, the NCAA is facing more issues from federal courts after losing a battle over NIL yesterday, name, image, and likeness compensation. A judge in Virginia granted a preliminary injunction that said the current rules by the NCAA, which prohibit third parties from using financial incentives to draw recruits, is a violation of antitrust law. We'll see where that goes. Attorneys General in Virginia and in Tennessee brought that case forward. NFL salary cap is going to have a historic jump next year, more than $30 million up to $255.4 million per club. And on top of that, there will be another $74 million per team available for player benefits, veteran payments, things like that. So every team player costs, you figure it all together, every team will have $329.4 million available next year. That is a total of $10.5 billion for the National Football League budgeted to player cost alone. Yes, it is a cash cow. Cincinnati Bengals will keep one of their favorite targets for quarterback Joe Burrow. They're going to franchise tag wide receiver T. Higgins, first player to get the tag in this offseason. They have until that deadline to get a long-term deal fired up and ready to go. Former Dallas Cowboys receiver Golden Richards has passed away at the age of 73. He was known for his flowing blonde hair, hence the name Golden, and was very much a long-distance target for Dallas quarterbacks in the late 1970s. Major League Soccer's opening weekend continues with the bulk of teams playing this weekend. New England Revolution will get started with new coach Caleb Porter with a visit down to Washington to take on DC United, which has its own new coach in Troy Lesane. That'll be a 7:30 start down at Audi Field coming up later on today. The Major League Soccer games will continue with replacement referees. Negotiations between the professional soccer referees, the union that represents Major League Soccer officials, and its employer, the Professional Referees Organization, they are continually getting more and more acrimonious in their debates over a new contract, one of which the union rejected earlier this week. PGA Tours in Mexico, the Mexico Open at Vedanta, Matt Wallace, Sammy Valamaki, Alvaro Ortiz, and Jake Knapp in a four-way tie at 11 under par. LPGA in Thailand for the Honda LPGA Thailand, what a creative name. Paddy Tavatanakit has the lead there, 3 shots up, heading into the final round. Skiing action, the men are in giant slalom action in California, Palisades at Tahoe. Should be starting up in about an hour or so. Another opportunity for Switzerland's Marco Odermatt to add to his dominant lead in the discipline. The women were supposed to have a GS in Val di Fassa, Italy today, but heavy snow has forced the cancellation of that race. Another Super G is scheduled for them, and race organizers are hoping that they can do that on Sunday as scheduled. That does it for Read About It as we hit 9:20. When we come back, I talk a little bit about a new honor for the late Buddy Tevens at Dartmouth College and speak also about the loss of a significant figure from the 1980s and 90s in Upper Valley High School and summer baseball. That's coming up next. I'm Greg Fennell. This is Saturday Sports Talk, WNTK and WUVR. 9:24 here on Saturday Sports Talk on this rather chilly February 24th. It's going to be one to be bundled up outdoors. Yours truly has public address announcing duties in Dartmouth Men's Lacrosse. Noon start with Holy Cross today. I saw the high was supposed to be in the low 20s and maybe a little bit breezy, so I think it's going to be ski gear and long johns for 3 hours outdoors today, but do bundle up wherever you're headed off to. But the nice thing is the sun should be out, should be really beautiful from that standpoint, and you know, you got to do what you got to do, right? So we'll do it. Saturday Sports Talk is where you are. We'll keep going until 10 o'clock. Rich and Woody, top of the hour, taking over for Valley Buzz. They'll go till 12 to clean things up for our 3 hours of live and local here from the Hilton Garden Inn in Lebanon. Couple of things. Actually, I meant to mention something else in read about it, about the Red Sox, now that we're in baseball season, as if you couldn't tell. Red Sox reporting yesterday that outfielder Jarren Duran and infielder Vaughn Grissom will be debuting right around March 1st. In both cases, they are still coming back from injuries in the offseason and surgeries. Duran had some worked on a left big toe, and they're going to be conservative with him early in the camp. Grissom, you might recall, was part of the package in the Chris Sale trade with the Atlanta Braves. He's had some imbalance issues in his hamstrings. That goes back to the offseason. They are expecting that Duran will be the leadoff hitter, and Grissom will be starting at second base. So they're key parts of the team, but this is only the start of training camp, so we can wait and see how things go with that. And, of course, remember, Red Sox baseball, you'll hear all the regular season right here again on WNTK 99.7. 7 FM, beginning right around March 28th, I think, is when opening day is. Got a neat thing a couple of days ago passed on from Dartmouth College, where the school has decided that it's going to give a unique honor to the late Buddy Tevens that it generally hasn't given to anybody, really, that I can think of, short of the naming of the soccer facility for Whitey Burnham a number of years ago. And that is the field at Memorial Field will bear Buddy's name. It'll be known as Buddy Tevens Stadium at Memorial Field in the future. The process of it will officially begin with a community celebration of Buddy's life on March 18th. Details still being worked out on that, but it's being done in partnership with his family. Of course, as you know, Buddy was a longtime coach of Dartmouth football, winningest coach in program history. Died in September at the age of 66 from injuries sustained in a bicycle accident that happened a little bit less than a year ago. In a statement from Cyan Leah Belock, I should say, the president of Dartmouth, as a coach, a colleague, a classmate, and a teammate, Buddy Tevens was a leader who encouraged people to perform at their best, not just on the football field, but in life. Naming the stadium for Buddy will help that legacy endure for generations to come. Apparently, the Board of Trustees, according to a Dartmouth release, recently approved the stadium name to honor Tevens, not just for his work as a mentor to hundreds of players that passed through the Dartmouth gates, but also brought innovation and safety to the game of football, both at the college and at the professional level. That celebration of life is going to be at Memorial Field on May 18th, 10 a.m. That is a Saturday, I believe. And it's going to include some special guest speakers from the Tevens family, friends, and the Dartmouth community. Full schedule of events will be coming up in the near future. And people who do want to go to the celebration are being asked to register online by May 16th. If you look up the news release from Dartmouth on this, and you can do that through the Dartmouth Sports website by going to the football team's page, you will find out more. Now, there will also be honors presented during the football season, I believe at the first home game that the team will make the dedication official. That'll be in the first Ivy League game of the season on October 5th against Penn. So it's going to be kind of an ongoing celebration of Buddy's life. Well-deserved. Nice to see the college do this. But I also, me personally, I find it a little bit bittersweet because I think back to a number of years ago when Kathy Slattery Phillips, the longtime sports information director, died from a brain aneurysm while doing her job. A huge loss for the Dartmouth athletic community at the time. And when some members of the Dartmouth alumni got together and tried to create momentum to have the press box at Memorial Field named in Kathy's honor, the response I got back from the college was, "We don't name facilities after employees. You have to pay for it," is what it comes down to. You see, you hear, like, for instance, Buddy was the Robert L. Blackman head football coach. The position is endowed. It was endowed by somebody who wanted to give money and have a purpose at Dartmouth College. And it's not the only thing. They've gotten endowments for the men's hockey coaching job. Men's soccer, I think, is endowed. Women's basketball is endowed. And it may be named in honor of Chris Wilgus for women's basketball, for instance. But it isn't Chris who put the money up. It's somebody else who admired her and wanted to honor her in this fashion. From what I'm reading from Dartmouth College, this is not the case with Buddy. This is a case where the college wanted to remember a person who had a legendary impact on the college, not just as an athlete, but as a coach and as a mentor. And I'm totally for it. I think it's a brilliant idea, and it's something that is long overdue for people who make major contributions to Dartmouth College athletics. But they had these opportunities in the past and came up with cockamamie excuses not to do it. So hopefully, maybe what we're dealing with here is there's been enough of a churn in administration in Dartmouth athletics and in Dartmouth administration to see the value of giving Buddy this honor and giving his family something to hold on to, and I commend Dartmouth College for doing it. But it's had this opportunity before. It has failed. I hope that this is a sign that Dartmouth will honor people deserving of in Buddy's stature, and frankly, Kathy deserves it too, to honor them for what their contributions were for the college rather than having somebody write a check and say, hey, this person needs to be honored in this fashion. So I hope lots of people turn out for this on May 18th and later in October when Penn comes to town at Dartmouth football at what will soon be Buddy Tevens Stadium at Memorial Field. One other thing in the news release, Memorial Field continuing to honor students and alumni lost in wars. That's the whole point of it being called Memorial Field. You see the plaque as you walk in the main gate on the west stands, that honorific right there. So, good. I'm happy. I'm happy for the Tevens family, and I'm pleased for Dartmouth College. Not a lot of detail on this other news item I wanted to get into because it's only kind of developing, but a couple of days ago we lost a significant person in the history of high school athletics and in education in general when Chuck Honeywell passed away. Chuck died on Tuesday at the age of 88, and as of right now there hasn't been a formal obituary posted online or in the local newspaper, so I can't go into great detail. Basically all I can do is kind of riff on my memories, and that goes back quite a long way. I mean, I've been here since 1987. Chuck was the baseball coach at Lebanon High at the time, and he was also the coach summertime for what was then the Hartford Post 26 American Legion baseball team. You know, honestly, I could probably have my wife on here, and she could probably talk more about Chuck, because I believe he was a physical education teacher at Hanover High School, where she went to school. I believe he coached at Hanover at some point as well. I really enjoyed working with Chuck early on. He was very understated, but he was very highly respected in what he did and the work he did with high school kids, particularly in the baseball realm. He struck me as kind of a calm, taciturn, not terribly uncharacteristic Granite State character who developed a lot of respect from people who got to work with him. There are a few entries and memories of him on the website for Ricker Funeral Home. One of them, I'll read verbatim here from a gentleman named Ed Horton. Coach Honeywell was a very fine man who valued giving, family, community, and teamwork. As a coach and mentor, he passed on those values and remained true to them in his loyal support of those he coached later in life. I'm so grateful to have been guided by him. I was lucky enough not just to know Chuck, but also his family as well. His wife, Eileen, you would see her all the time. There was a period of time when you would see them walking down Bank Street, I think it is, from their home. In fact, their home for a short period of time was a bed and breakfast right out the outskirts of town on the eastern side of downtown. I got to work with his son, Bill, in radio at another station way back when. Last I ran into Bill or heard of Bill, I think he and his wife were living in the Washington area, and his wife was using a Russian degree to work for the government in some fashion. Susie, of course, was a fantastic basketball player at Lebanon High. She went on to get an education at Cornell, played a little basketball there. Calvin's name has popped up regularly. I think they had four kids altogether, maybe five. I lost track, but they were integral to the fabric of the city and also Lebanon High School as well. And it really was a loss when he was, I want to say he was pushed out, let go as baseball coach at some point. I don't recall it being a retirement, but I could be wrong on that, and I could be speaking out of my hat from a post-26 standpoint. But everything I've ever heard about Chuck Honeywell and every interaction I've had with him has been memorable, warm, friendly, and a great, great loss. And hopefully there will be more on him in the local paper at some point. The obituary online says it will be there soon. I guess it's just being put together, and of course there won't be another local paper on your driveway until Monday, and it's not in today's edition. I know that for a fact. So keep your eyes open. Learn a little more about Chuck Honeywell and what he was and what he meant both to Lebanon High and Hanover High and the Upper Valley in general. In sports, I'm pretty sure he coached stuff other than baseball, but taught for a number of years, and of course the family is so integral. One of those familiar family names you run into here in Lebanon, Honeywell here, Honeywell all over the place. Well, unfortunately now there is one less, Chuck Honeywell passing away on Tuesday at the age of 88. Speaking of high schools, good news from Hartford High boys basketball. Historic news, actually. We'll talk about that next. We'll look at the upcoming schedule for today. And we'll take a peek at where some of our other teams could be seeded, as we'll be getting a whole bunch of them, the last batch of playoff seeds coming up on Monday. So details all on that next. I'm Greg Fennell. You are listening to Saturday Sports Talk right here on WNTK and WUVR. Mandatory Ramones for you here on WNTK, WUVR at 939. At least it's from the Subterranean Jungle album, one of my favorite tune titles anywhere. Every time I eat vegetables, it makes me think of you. The album released this week in 1983 by the Ramones. I remember in college, I did mostly photography for the campus newspaper, but I did a little bit of writing here and there, some sports coverage, and they threw me some albums to review, and I reviewed Subterranean Jungle, and I didn't think it was really all that good. The production wasn't that strong, drumming sounded kind of mushy, not their best effort, and I think if you go to Johnny Ramone's autobiography, Commando, he probably didn't give it that great of a grade. He gave all the albums a grade. I think the first one got an A, and one or two others got A minuses. He was pretty critical, but Subterranean Jungle didn't really do it that well. Anyway, that's your Mandatory Ramones here on WNTK, WUVR. You get it on every edition of Saturday Sports Talk right at this spot. History made last night over at Hanley Gymnasium at Hartford High School. Mike Gaudette's Hartford High Hurricanes, top-ranked in the Vermont Division II Boys Basketball Tournament, earned a 49-41 win over number 9 Lamoille in the D2 quarterfinals. That puts Hartford in its first high school boys basketball semifinal in 40 years. And it might even be their first trip to Berry Auditorium, because I thought I saw something somewhere that their last semifinal visit back in the Reagan administration, 1984, a 65-63 loss to MSJ, may not have been held in Barrie. I don't know if that's the case or not. But if nothing else, I mean, this is a team that has not won, a program, I should say, that has not won a state basketball championship for boys in 95 years. They know it. They've embraced this. They're trying to end this long drought. And they've got a pretty good team this year. Christian Hathorn, 19 points last night, the bulk of them on 6 3-pointers, last of which gave Hartford a 44-32 lead in the fourth quarter, and they cruised pretty much from there. They will take on number 4 North Country. That'll be Monday night, Berry Auditorium, 8:15 p.m., and they will face, hold on a second because I brought it up here a few moments ago, get it on the correct page, Fennell. They will play the winner of semifinal pitting, pitting Montpelier against either Otter Valley or Harwood. Last night's action in Division II saw not only North Country beat Fairhaven 76-56 to set up that date with Hartford, but Montpelier, the three-time defending champions in Division II, were 68-55 winners over Lake Region. One more quarterfinal scheduled today. It's number 6 Otter Valley at number 3 Harwood. That team would face Montpelier on Wednesday at 8:15, with the state championship a week from today at 3:45, and that's all going on at Berry Auditorium. So congratulations to Mike Gaudette, Hartford Hurricanes, on making their way to the VPA Division II boys basketball semifinals. Here's to the hope that they can break that 95-year drought in the coming week. NHIAA girls had their Division IV basketball quarterfinals yesterday. Number 5 Woodsville sees its season end in a 55-47 loss to number 4 Farmington. The Engineers went 14-6 this year. Other quarterfinals, number 1 Littleton blew up number 9 Holy Family 69-32. Number 2 Groveton, which always seems to be at this level in Division IV, a 51-40 winner over number 10 Profile. And number 3 Newmarket had to work overtime to eliminate number 6 Wilton Lineborough 46-40 yesterday. I believe those semifinals are going to be on Tuesday. Now, the schedule for today, big day for the folks down at Kearsarge Regional High. It is the New Hampshire Division 3 Girls Basketball Championship, 5 o'clock today, going on at Keene State College. The Cougars are 4th in the tournament, taking on next-door neighbor number 2 Hopkinton to determine who the state champion is going to be. The Hawks go in this one, I think, as a favorite. They swept the Cougars in the regular season 44-32 and 44-40. In both cases, these are teams that have not won state championships in quite a while. Hopkinton last made it to the D3 finals in 2018 and hasn't won it in 21 years. They beat Mascoma 51-46 back in 2003. And I want to say that was back in the Ed Keogh coaching days for the Royals. Kearsarge, meanwhile, last made a championship game when they were in Division II 12 years ago, and their last championship was in Division II back in 2002. They beat Lebanon 46-34. So Kearsarge, Hopkinton, number 4 versus number 2 for New Hampshire Division III girls basketball bragging rights at Keene State College. 5 o'clock is when things tap off. We are at the quarterfinal stage for Vermont boys basketball, as evidenced by Hartford's win in Division II last night. Three other teams in the listening area still in action. They're going to play quarterfinals today. 2 o'clock this afternoon up on the hill, number 2 Thetford, which had been the top seed in the division pretty much all season long until a 2-2 close to the regular season and a loss to now number 1 Hazen on the last day of the regular season. They will be at home 2 o'clock this afternoon entertaining number 7 BFA Fairfax. And number 3, White River Valley, will be playing at 7 o'clock tonight, hosting number 6, Richford. And you better believe that if Thetford wins its game today, Jason Gray and company are going to be doing some serious scouting of the Wildcats, because they're close, but I don't think they played each other in the regular season at all. And if they do end up both winning today, they'd play each other in the semifinals next week up at Berry Auditorium. Division 4, the defending champion Rivendell Raptors earned a 7th seed in the D4 tournament. They go down to Bennington to take up upstart Grace Christian, which I believe is in its first year of VPA membership. That's a 2 o'clock start for that contest. There is some regular season activity going on a little bit later on around the Upper Valley today. Hockey action, Hanover going down to Concord to close out the regular season at Everett Arena. They've already beaten the Crimson Tide this year. In fact, it was the first time I want to say it was like the first time in 3 years that the Tide had lost a regular season game when Hanover beat them at Campion Rink a couple of weeks ago, 4-1 the final there. So we'll see how serious this Bears team is. Speaking of Bears, Hanover girls with an impressive win over Bishop Girton earlier this week and blasting another good team, Oyster River Portsmouth, 10-1 a couple of nights ago. They're going to host Bishop Brady Trinity Londonderry at Campion Rink. That's a 6:30 start today. Individual state championships for the bowlers going on. Hartford down at the individual finals in Rutland. That started at 9 this morning. Stevens, which just won a team state championship last week. The individuals competing in Raymond starting at 10 o'clock, and today is the meet of champions in wrestling. So Lebanon and Mascoma sending athletes to that event after competing in the Division III tournament last week. As a matter of fact, while I'm talking about it, I'm going to type and talk at the same time and probably not do either of them well, but let's see if we can dig up something real quick. In Division III wrestling, state finals last week, Bo ended up picking the state championship in Division III, but I noticed in a quick review of at least one weight class that Lebanon did quite well. In the lightweight class, 106, for instance, they had a athlete make it to the individual final. What I was hoping to find, and I don't think I'm going to be able to find it too easily, are the team scores. And I will give it up here since I didn't get it before the process got started. So I don't know how good Lebanon and Mascoma were as teams at D3 last year, but Bo did pick up the state championship. Those wrestlers, so I think either were top three or top four in their weight classes, go to Meet of Champions today to determine the kingpins of wrestling in the state of New Hampshire. We're going to get a whole bunch of new seeds coming up in a few days. Monday, I think, is what it's going to be in New Hampshire. Boys basketball and what girls basketball hasn't come down. I think it's basically divisions 1 and 2 now. Will have their seeds come out. In boys action, Hanover, of course, has been near the top all season long, as predicted last week. They got the number 2 seed. Pelham get the number 1 on a tiebreaker, slightly higher point rating. And with, I believe, 14 teams making the tournament, Hanover will have a first-round bye, along with Pelham, and I believe everybody else will have to play to get to the quarterfinal stage. Unfortunately, Lebanon knocked out of the picture, finishing at 6-12 this past year in the first season with Blendon Sauls as head coach. In Division II for the girls, Hanover will be close to middle of the pack, hard to believe, but looking at perhaps a 7-8 to maybe a 6 seed, depending on tiebreakers, after a 13-5 regular season. Concord Christian, the upstarts, who won a Division IV title 2 years ago, Division III last year, bumped up to D2. They will be the top seed at 17-1. Boys hockey, talking about how well Hanover has played so far this year. With one game to play, they are outside the top four right now, but a win today combined with a Bishop Girton loss to close the regular season would give Hanover a top four spot. I don't think, though, that would get you a first round bye at the fourth seed because it's not a big division. I think 11 teams make it all together. Dean Cashman and company with Lebanon Boys Hockey, they've had a great year. They're going to be the fourth seed in the D2 tournament when those seeds come out a little bit later on at the end of the weekend or the beginning of the next week. On the Vermont side of things, you know about Division 2 boys basketball, 3 and 4, what's going on with the playoffs as well. Girls basketball tournament seeds come out on Monday. Hartford looking like they're going to be a number 7 seed in the Division 2 tournament, playing well this year at 13-7. I'd give them probably dark horse status in that division to see how well they go. Windsor girls, two-time division champions in D3, are going to be the second seed behind Hazen, with Thetford in the 4 spot, White River Valley in the 5 spot, Oxbow 8. Once again, Division 3 is going to be real interesting to watch from an Upper Valley standpoint. Woodstock will be on the road as the 13th seed, and in Division 4 girls basketball, and those seeds come out on Monday, look for, is it Rivendell? Yes, they'll be a number 11 seed, and Sharon a 15 seed if they decide to go. The Sharon boys decided not to participate in the Division 4 state tournament. The seeds for hockey are out in Division 2. Hartford boys, they will play on Wednesday. They're going to entertain arch rival Woodstock. That'll be a 6:15 start at Barwood Arena. And on the girls' side, couldn't avoid it, Hartford and Woodstock in the same bracket. Their tournaments will start on Wednesday as well. Stowe will visit Hartford at 4:15 at Barwood Arena, and Woodstock will host Middlebury at Union Arena at 6 o'clock. And if those two win, they'll play each other in the semifinals sometime next weekend. Let's take one last time out, take a look at some results from Dartmouth sports, including the spring stuff. That's actually the stuff we are getting excited about because we really want it to warm up. We'll talk more in a sec. I'm Greg Fettle. This is Saturday Sports Talk at WNTK WUVR. But we can't say what we've seen, and we're not little children, and we know what we want, and the future. Now ride, ride, ride through the city backsides. I see the stars come out. The bright and hollow sky, you know it looks so good tonight. I am the passenger, I stay under glass. I look through my window so bright, I see the stars come out tonight. I see the bright and city's a ripback sky, and everything looks good. 9:55-ish on Saturday Sports Talk. I was talking before about the Mandatory Ramones coming off of their Subterranean Jungle album from 1983. The album art has them posed at an open door of a subway car, very much graffitied. So that kind of got me thinking, transportation. Cars, trucks, yada, yada, yada. Let's use that as a theme for our bump music today. So we did. The Cars, can't do it without the Cars. Cruiser from one of their later albums. Gary Newman's Cars, one of my favorite very new wave synthesizer songs. The Fixes, Lost Plains, Ruins Every Time I Eat Vegetables. It makes me think of you. Talking Heads, Road to Nowhere, off of, I forget the name of the album, but it was like one of their more successful ones. And Iggy Pop, The Passenger, a song that was also covered by Susie and the Banshees at one point. That's your music here on Saturday Sports Talk with Greg Fennell. Rich and Woody coming up in a bit. Rich texted me during one of the breaks regarding Chuck Honeywell. The funeral will be next Saturday, March 2nd, with viewing coming up at the Ricker Funeral Home, I presume in Lebanon, on Friday. Thank you, Rich, for the details on that. And again, more to follow, hopefully in the next day or so, in the local paper. Nothing in it today. Again, Chuck Honeywell passing away on Tuesday at the age of 88. Dartmouth Sports. Yeah, we got plenty of winter stuff going on. Men's hockey making moves up the ECAC standings. Women's hockey in the ECAC playoffs. One game date down at Princeton this afternoon. Men's and women's basketball. Men losing last night. Hosting Princeton tonight. Women entertaining Yale at 1 o'clock in the senior game. Last home game for Dartmouth women's basketball this season. But this is the time also when spring sports are getting going, baseball and softball, like they often do, heading down south to get in weather, nice weather action. The softball program's down at the University of Georgia. For the Georgia Classic, they opened up yesterday with a 4-1 loss in Athens to Radford. In that contest, starting pitcher Rachel McCarroll got into the fifth inning before running out of steam, got nicked for 7 hits in that contest by Radford before giving way to freshman Jensen Hall, who pitched the rest of the way. Jensen is the young lady, freshman from Texas, with some real good heat, real good movement. I'm really looking forward to seeing her develop as a pitcher for Dartmouth. She finished things off with an inning and two-thirds of work and gave up no hits, struck out 2, walked 1. Rachel's line in the game, 4 and a third innings, I should say, gave up 7 hits with 4 runs, 3 of them earned, walked 2, and struck out 4. The Big Green will take on Radford again in the Georgia Classic coming up a little bit later on this afternoon. Now, baseball also doing the same thing. They're down in Texas playing the Bearcats with a K of Sam Houston State, and they got started down there last night with a 7-2 defeat to the homestanding Bearcats. If my computer would speed up, I could read to you a little bit of detail on what happened in that game last night. Sam Houston jumping out to a quick 2-0 lead in the first inning. Dartmouth tied it in the second with all the offense they were going to get. Sam Houston added 2 more in the third, 3 more in the fifth to get the victory. Dartmouth using just 2 pitchers yesterday. Clark Gilmore went 4 and a third, took the loss, gave up 6 runs, 5 of them earned. Eddie Albert finishing things off with 3 2/3 work with 4 hits allowed and 1 run given up. Dartmouth offense, multiple hit game for catcher Nathan Semela, 3 for 5, scored a run as well, and 2 for 5 day for Max Zajac, the first baseman for the Big Green. 12 hits altogether, but Dartmouth didn't do a whole lot with those hits, ultimately stranding 13 runners on base. Big Green, I believe, is playing a 4-game set at Sam Houston State this weekend. They'll play again this afternoon at 4 o'clock Eastern time. Today is the home opener for Dartmouth men's lacrosse. They have Holy Cross coming into town for a 1 o'clock start. I thought it was noon, but it says 1 o'clock here. And coming off of a 15-13 loss to Bucknell last week for the Big Green as they try to make noise in the Ivy League, which they haven't done in quite a while. Women's lacrosse, the one program that is off this weekend, they will open up their home schedule on Tuesday night. They're going to have Vermont come to town to Scully Fahey Field for a 5 o'clock game. So if it's anything like it is today, bundle up if you're going to go check out Dartmouth women's lacrosse, which will go on the road to Cornell next weekend before returning home to play UMass on March the 5th. That's going to do it for today's edition of Saturday Sports Talking. Congratulations to Mike Gaudette and the Hartford High boys basketball team with their historic win last night. They're going back to Barry Auditorium. It's hard to say back when you haven't been there in 40 years. if at all. But they're going to go. It's going to be on Monday. So get up there to Barrie and support Hartford boys basketball as they take on North Country. Rich and Woody coming up next with Valley Buzz. They'll take you up to noon to wrap up the 3 hours of Live and Local here from the Hilton Garden Inn. I'm Greg Fennell. Thanks for tuning in here to Saturday Sports Talk, WNTK and WUVR. Have a great weekend.